municipal front, towns across the district, we're really reaping the benefits of solid leadership and effective planning through our social services arm, the Kenora District Services Board. And as you know, Mike, they're responsible for management of housing and daycare for us, along with other social services. And so from that perspective, it's a really good news budget for us. It's also great to see the old age security increase, the extra $3 billion for long-term care facilities, and then there's the extension of the emergency wage subsidy, the rent subsidy, and lockdown support. Those three things, you know, on their own are going to cost an extra $12 billion a year, though. And what I'm concerned about is that there's no room in the budget really to consider living within our means or challenging ourselves about how we're going to pay this money back to lenders as a country. And, you know, you can't just print more money because it devalues our dollar and weakens the financial system. I think about it this way from a municipal perspective. The percentage of each tax dollar raised by the federal government is supposed to be distributed to the provinces, and the municipalities each depend upon both the province and the federal government to pass a certain percentage on to municipalities. So when either level of senior government runs into financial trouble, the municipalities feel the pinch. Politically speaking, though, who would publicly oppose $10 a day daycare, subsidized housing, billions in extra transit funding, and extended EI6 benefits? On daycare, for example, remember that the initial federal cost is $30 billion. That's what most people remember about that. And then you add on $8.3 billion in annual costs. It's not highlighted, but the fact is the provinces are also on the hook for 50%. So that means total costs could be double or $16 billion a year. So it's very expensive when it comes to how much it's costing the taxpayer. And with a proposed 2021-2022 budget deficit of $155 billion plus $10 billion in new taxes, the question is, where are we going to get the money to pay for it all without hamstringing the economic engines that create wealth in the country? Because, again, you know, you can't just borrow and print your way out of debt. And I did some research on our federal debt projections, and it's projected to hit $1.4 trillion by 2024. We went through this scenario before in Canada in the 60s and 70s, borrowing and spending like there's no tomorrow, and it created the conditions for runaway inflation and interest rates in the 80s. And we didn't recover from that borrowing binge for 20 years. So if you ask anyone who was around working in the 80s what Ray Day means, they'll remember, and they'll remember what it meant for Ontario during that time period. And since the turn of the century, Ontario's experienced this again when our net public debt grew from $138 billion in 2003 to just under $400 billion last year. So back to municipalities, in northwestern Ontario, we could really greatly benefit from tri-level government collaborative planning to come up with sustainable long-term forest fire evacuation solutions, for example. I think that the more effectively the provinces and the federal government can collaborate, the better off municipalities will be. For tourism, a refresher, so the budget provides $1 billion to support the tourism sector businesses, including supports for events and festivals. And when you break it down, there's $200 million for major festivals through Canada's regional development agencies, and there's another $200 million in support for community festivals, and then $500 million to support tourism-based businesses through a tourism relief fund. So I'm really glad to see that $500 million there. But my take is that in these COVID times, there's so many businesses that are hurting, especially in the tourist industry. I'd rather see the whole $1 billion go towards the relief. So the first question I have about the $1 billion is how much of that is new versus recycled dollars? So that's just a question. And I don't really anticipate much if any of that $1 billion will end up in our part of northwestern Ontario. I could be wrong. But what I think our tourist camp operators and restaurant owners need from the folks who closed the international border, and of course we depend on that cross-border tourism in our neck of the woods, when they closed that over a year ago, what happened was we were devastated. So what we need is proper compensation so they can hold on to their businesses and start to rebuild. So in short, I'd like to see 100% of that $1 billion going directly to existing tourist operators instead of annual festivals, for example.